Our text for this evening is Psalm 34 verses 1 to 8. Psalm 34 verses 1 to 8. And that is where we'll focus our study. But I'll read to you the whole Psalm, Psalm 34, and then we will study verses 1 to 8. Psalm 34, a Psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. The title of the psalm tells us the background of the psalm. In Psalm 34 verse 1 we have the title, the Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away. Now this title connects the psalm with David's dangerous experience with the Philistines in Gath. And this is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 21 verse 10 right up to 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 1. I read to you 1 Samuel chapter 21 verses 10 to 15. And David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. And David took these words to heart and was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of the gate and let his spittle run down his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, 'Behold, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?'" Then I read 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 1. 1 Samuel 22 and verse 1. David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. So David flees from Achish, from Gath, and he flees to this cave of Adullam. The Philistine king in 1 Samuel chapter 21 is called Achish. But the dynastic title of the Philistine kings is Abimelech, as mentioned in the title of the psalm, in Psalm 34, right in verse 1, the name Abimelech. Abimelech is the dynastic title of the Philistine kings. Just like the Egyptian kings had their dynastic titles, Pharaoh, and the Amalekite kings, they were called Agag. So this is a dynastic title, Abimelech. In verse 8 of Psalm 34, you find that verse quoted in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. I read to you, reading Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And Peter quotes this verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Again in verses 12 and 16. Verses 12 and 16 of Psalm 34. They are quoted in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. So Peter was very familiar with this psalm. Psalm 34 verses 12 to 16. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. And we read in 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 10 to 12. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, out of this experience, out of this dangerous experience in Gath, David shares four instructions to those who followed him. In fact, it was after he fled to the cave of Adullam that his followers started increasing in number. His followers started increasing in number. 1 Samuel chapter 22 verses 1 and 2, David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him. And he became commander over them. And there were with him about 400 men. And here you find David is instructing these people, his followers now who have joined him. He is giving them four instructions in this psalm. Number one, he's saying, bless the Lord. Psalm 34 verses 1 to 3. Then he's saying, seek the Lord. Psalm 34 verses 4 to 8. Then he says, fear the Lord. Psalm 34 verses 9 to 16. And then he says, trust the Lord. Psalm 34 verses 17 to 22. We look into verses 1 to 8 this evening. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Psalm 34 verses 1 to 3. David was delighted to be out of enemy territory. He shouldn't have gone there first. To begin with, he shouldn't have gone to Gath. Just imagine sticking your head into enemy territory, expecting the enemy to help you. Anyway, now that he's back with his men in the wilderness, David says in Psalm 34 verses 1 to 3, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. You see those verbs there, four of them. Bless, boast, magnify, exalt. And the word Lord is used 16 times in this psalm. The Lord is none other than Jehovah, the self-existent, eternal, uncreated God, the Lord of the universe. He is also our Redeemer. Remember that David is now leading a bunch of 400 men. And these 400 men were men who were in distress. They were in debt. They were discontented. And he was now captain over them. 1 Samuel chapter 22 verse 2. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him, and he became commander over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Imagine teaching a bunch of 400 men in distress, in debt, and who are bitter in soul, discontented about life. Imagine teaching them to praise and worship. He says, bless the Lord, which means he's teaching them to praise and worship. He was calling them to stop warfare now and start worship. Why does David do this? You see, David knew a secret. He knew that when we worship God, God fights our battles. When we worship God, God fights our battles. The angels know this. And that is one of the reasons I believe that they are constantly in worship before God's throne. Because God is the one who fights. He is the Lord who fights the battles. Praise and worship is the means by which the battle is won in the heavenly places. And the defeat of the enemy is manifested in the earthly realm. So it is so important to spend time in praise and worship. So he is teaching his followers the importance of worship. What did the Lord do for David? When he led his people into praise and worship, what did the Lord do for David? Number one, the Lord answered David's prayer. Psalm 34 verse 4. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. You see, King Saul was trying to kill David and David flees from King Saul. In fear he flees and he flees to Abimelech, the Philistine king. Then he flees from there, from Abimelech, and now he's in this cave of Adullam. Now David says that God had delivered him from all his fears. The Lord answered David's prayer. Psalm 34 verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. Number two, the Lord delivered David from trouble. So you see, when David worshipped the Lord answered his prayer and the Lord delivered him from trouble. Psalm 34 verse 17. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Now we get into trouble most often when we make our own, we make blunders, we make mistakes, and when we move out of the center of the will of God. But then when we cry out to God, he hears us and he delivers us. He comes after his lost sheep and he makes our feet steady so that we don't wander away from him. This morning I was reading from Psalm 40 verse 2. I read to you from the New Living Translation. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. We need to ask the Lord to steady our feet, meaning that we don't get distracted by the enemy and get sidetracked and move away from the will of God. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. Number three, the Lord protected David from danger. Psalm 34 verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Now David did not boast about his own cleverness or skill. He boasted about the Lord. He boasted about who the Lord is and what he does. In fact, that is worship. Ascribing worth to the Lord. Telling God who he is and what he has done. Psalm 34 verse 2. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. What can he boast about anyway? When he himself is being hunted and haunted by King Saul, and now with him are a bunch of those who are in distress and in debt and discontented. What can he boast of? These people were poor people, and David was teaching them to humble themselves before the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Psalm 34 verse 6. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You see, these were poor people. But these poor people who humbled themselves before the Lord, they had everything because they belonged to the Lord. Psalm 34 verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. And again, verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. Fear the Lord, you his saints. They were saints. Who's a saint? One who is saved by grace through faith.
And they were set apart as God's righteous ones, saved sinners. Saints are nothing but saved sinners. Every saved sinner is a saint. And these were people who were set apart as his righteous ones. Psalm 34 verse 10. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Psalm 34 verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. Psalm 34 verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Verse 15. Toward the righteous, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And then in verse 21, Psalm 34 verse 21, affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. This means that the Lord will defend his own people. He will defend the ones he has made righteous. They were servants of the Lord. Psalm 34 verse 22, the Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. So knowing who the Lord is and who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, this should make us want to bless the Lord, worship him and praise him. Remember that the Bible calls these same bunch of 400 men who are in distress and who are in debt and discontented with life. The Bible calls them later on as mighty men, helpers in war. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 1. Now these are the men who came to David at Ziklag while he could not move about freely because of Saul the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men who helped him in war. They then became a great army like the army of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 22. For from day to day men came to David to help him until there was a great army like the army of God. Coming back to Psalm 34 verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now this verse is much easier to read than it is to practice. How can we praise the Lord at all times? David is saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. You see, sometimes we are weak and our bodies are hurting and our circumstances are so difficult. Sometimes we helplessly watch people we love go through hard times, as we see happening right now in these days of COVID-19. But the scripture exhorts us to praise the Lord at all times. Praise must therefore be something very important. Notice the results that come when we truly praise the Lord continually. What happens? Number one, praise sanctifies our lives at all times. We are saints. That means we are saved sinners and we are set apart unto God. We are called to live saintly lives. We are set apart. We belong to God and not to the world. We are called to live a life of holiness. And as we praise the Lord, praise sanctifies us. Praise sanctifies our lives at all times. And heaven operates through praise. Praise acknowledges God's presence and God's power, no matter how grave the situation may be. You see, before Jesus went to the cross, he sang before he went to Calvary. Matthew chapter 26 verse 30 says, Matthew 26 verse 30, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Paul and Silas, they praised the Lord in prison when their bodies were hurting. Acts chapter 16 verses 23 to 25. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Number two, praise unifies God's people. Praise sanctifies our lives at all times. Praise unifies God's people. Psalm 34 verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. How beautiful it is to praise and worship the Lord, especially when the children are singing. Our hearts are lifted up in praise and we can praise and worship together. One thing that we can all do together is to praise the Lord. Number 3, praise magnifies the Lord. Psalm 34 verse 3. Oh magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Don't magnify the problem. Learn to praise him so that he is magnified, and when we do that, we invite God's manifest presence and power. He acts on our behalf. He will handle the problem. Ask yourself this question. Is praising God part of your Christian experience? Ask yourself that question. Is praising God part of my Christian experience? Praise him always, because praise is a necessary part of the life of faith. So let praise sanctify our lives and unify our fellowship and magnify the Lord. Then we will truly become the army of God. We said that out of his experience in Gath, David shared 4 instructions to those who followed him. The first instruction is bless the Lord, Psalm 34 verses 1 to 3. The second instruction that David gives is seek the Lord, Psalm 34 verses 4 to 8. Psalm 34 verses 4 to 8. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. David gives us a threefold witness of what God does for his own people in these verses, verses 4 to 8. In these verses, David gives us a threefold witness of what God does for his own people. Number 1, he saves his people. And you'll find that throughout verses 4 to 8. Number 2, he keeps his people. He keeps his people. He protects his people, verse 7. Number 3, he satisfies his people, verse 8. David sought the Lord and he was saved. He was saved from the terrors within him. Psalm 34 verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So he had a lot of fear inside of him. But when he cried out to God, he said, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So he saved, God saved him from the terrors that were within him. David cried to the Lord and he was also delivered, not only from the fears from within, he was also delivered from the troubles around him. Psalm 31 verse 13. For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. To seek the Lord is the same as to look to him in faith. Looking to him in faith. That is the meaning of seeking the Lord. Looking to God in faith. When we look to him in faith, he looks upon us and shines upon us. Psalm 4 verse 6. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. Numbers chapter 6 verses 22 to 27, the priestly blessing. Numbers chapter 6 verses 22 to 27. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his son saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel and I will bless them. Psalm 34 verse 5. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. Now this word radiant in Hebrew, it is the word noha, which means to sparkle, to be cheerful. To sparkle or to be cheerful. It describes the joyful face of a mother who is welcoming her children home. In the book of Isaiah chapter 60 verses 4 to 5. Isaiah chapter 60 verses 4 to 5. Lift up your eyes all around and see they all gather together. They come to you. Your son shall come from afar and your daughter shall be carried on the hip Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. If we walk in unbelief, our faces will be ashamed. But if we walk by faith, our faces will be aglow. Our faces will shine. Exodus chapter 34 verse 29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Matthew chapter 17 verse 2. On the Mount of Transfiguration, we see what happened to the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 17 verse 2. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Now before Stephen was stoned to death, we read in Acts chapter 6 verse 15. And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. His face was like the face of an angel. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 8 to 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 8 to 9. Will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So as we get close to the heart of God in worship, in communion with Him, His face shines upon us. From one degree of glory to another, we are being transformed. After the Lord saves us, He sends His angels to protect us. In Psalm 34 verse 7 it says, Psalm 34 verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. God knows how to deal with the spiritual forces of darkness that are arrayed against us by Satan and the demons. Psalm 35 verses 5 to 6, let them be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. Let their way be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. Remember, the real enemy is not the person whom you see right in front of you, who is probably accusing you or he's doing harm to you. But the real enemy is the demonic spirit behind him, using him as a tool. So when we cry out to God and we seek His face, when we call upon Him, what happens? Psalm 35 verses 5 to 6. Let them be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. Let their way be dark and slippery, with the angels of the Lord pursuing them. The demons will flee, because angels are fighting for us. When Jacob blessed Ephraim and Manasseh, the children of Joseph, who were born to him in Egypt, Jacob, also known as Israel, Jacob was their grandfather. He says in Genesis 48 verse 16, Genesis 48 verse 16, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys, and in them let my name be carried on, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. We find that the angel of the Lord was the one who was in the fiery pillar and the cloudy pillar in the camp of Israel. Exodus chapter 14 verses 19 to 20. Exodus 14 verses 19 to 20. Then the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud, and there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. Now who is the angel of the Lord? He is no one else but the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the triune Godhead. And He made pre-incarnation visits to His people during Old Testament times. Last time we read about how He appeared to Abraham. So David says in Psalm 34 verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. When David envisioned a camp of angels around him, he may have been also recalling Jacob's experience at Mahanaim. Genesis chapter 32 verses 1 to 2. Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." So he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Today, angels are servants to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the saints, the saved sinners. And these angels minister to us in ways that we will never know about until we get to heaven. We won't know how they have ministered to us. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14. They are ministering to us all the time. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? You see, they protect us. They fight on our behalf. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. That's why we have guardian angels. So those who seek the Lord discover soon that he not only saves them and keeps them, but he also satisfies them. He also satisfies them. Psalm 34 verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. God says, taste and see. Now the word taste does not suggest to sip or to nibble. Taste implies feeding on the Lord through his word and experiencing all he has for us in worship, in prayer, in communion with him, in his word. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 3. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Taste here means knowing him more and more and enjoying him more and more. It was a great blessing for David to be delivered from Gath and to be protected by the Lord after he had fled from Gath. But the greatest blessing was drawing near to God, enjoying the presence of God, not just his gifts. You know, that's how we bless the Lord. That's what pleases him the most. You know, the greatest joy of every father is to hear the voice of the infant recognizing him and calling him daddy or appa. Esther, Sam and little Tabitha, my granddaughter, was here last when the lockdown began last year. They were here with us for almost 3 weeks. And I was taking little Tabitha all around the place, showing her in the house and outside in the compound and showing her all the things in the house and, you know, telling her, you know, this is talking to her about the trees and the fruits and all that. And it was such a delight seeing her face, you know, in wonder. She's just looking and observing all those things. But what touched me the most is when she started calling me, Appacha, Appacha. That's what touched me the most. You see, the greatest joy of every father, grandfather, is to hear the voice of the infant recognizing him or her and calling him daddy or amachi or appacha or mummy. Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, some of the experiences that we go through in life, some of those experiences don't taste very sweet, they taste sour. Sometimes the cup is not sweet, it is bitter. Our Lord Jesus, remember, he had to drink a bitter cup. But what makes the bitter cup satisfying and sweet? It is tasting of the Lord in the cup. When you taste the Lord in the bitter experiences of life, then those experiences become sweet. In Christ, in him, those experiences become sweet. So praise sanctifies our life. Praise unites our fellowship. Praise magnifies the Lord.
We know and experience the fact that He saves us, He keeps us, and He will satisfy us. So let praise and worship be our uppermost desire, so that we may enjoy His manifest presence and experience His power continually as we humbly walk with Him. As David says in Psalm 27 verse 4, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Shall we bow our heads in prayer?